scriptures today are from Romans 8, verse 1 through 6, verse 26, verses 34 and 35, 37 to 39. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
No man is an island, entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. This morning, the bell tolled. Each time we read a name of those who died this year, the chime of the bell signaled to us a silence. The ringing vibrating in our ears, echoing their names, bringing to mind their faces, or recognizing that even when we knew not their faces, that somebody does. Someone knew more than a name, more even than a face. Someone here continues to mourn. And in that mourning, we too enter, if just for a moment. The ringing of the bells pulls us in, for we cannot unhear, and thus we cannot unfeel. The bell tolls, and we are connected. As I meditated on the ringing of the bell, that phrase kept ringing in my ears, "For whom the bell tolls." I remembered it was the title of Hemingway's book, but I just kept hearing that line over and over again, that question. And so I found the poem by John Donne, the phrase so haunting that Hemingway chose it as the title of his book. It began to haunt me too. For whom the bell tolls. That's this morning's All Saints question. For whom? The obvious answer this morning was also the obvious answer in 17th century England. The bell tolls because someone has died. And so the question was a literal one, asked quite often, because the ringing of the bells was a signal to the townspeople that a death had occurred. They were funeral bells, and anybody listening likely asked the person next to them, "For whom the bell tolls?" Otherwise translated as, "Who died?" It was a question that expected a simple answer. But the poet and Anglican priest, perhaps having heard that question over and over again, perhaps even asking the same question himself, answers it in a way the questioner would never have expected. Simple, maybe. But as Oliver Wendell Holmes reminds us, simplicity this side of complexity isn't worth a fig. But simplicity the other side of complexity? That's the kind of simple answer Donne gave. Send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. In today's vernacular, don't ask who the bell's ringing for. It's ringing for you. John Donne was an Anglican priest and poet who contemplated life, God, spirit, metaphysics, mystery. In many ways, his work and thought was ahead of his time. But I suppose in other ways, it's timeless. His meditations concern humanity, spiritual and social functioning, especially with regard to illness and death. He let it sit heavy upon him and meditated upon him often. It's a testament to his insight that the work continues to strike a chord in us, even today, so many centuries later. So let's unpack the question and its answer. Who is the bell ringing for? Of course, initially we understand the bells to ring to inform us of death, to lift up a life, to pause, to honor, to remember. But we also understand that the bell is not really for that person anymore. The bell tolls because the living need to hear it. We need to hear the bell's toll. We are the ones who need to pause. We are the ones who need to feel the ringing vibrate in our ears, to resonate in our chest. It tolls for us because we need to remember. It's the very reason that we have memorials or funerals. I suppose some believe that it's a send-off for the dearly departed, and in many traditions it is. But in reality, I believe memorials and funerals are actually for the living. Because it is us, we who need to remember, we who need to pause, we need to grieve. The bell tolls for us. But I think there's even more to unpack in Donne's poem, because the question and its answer is not just to help us to realize that we need to pause, not just to help us to realize that we need to grieve, to stop, and remember. I think there's something more there, something deeper. You see, Donne was getting at our interconnection, realizing that none of us exists apart from the other. That famous quote which begins his poem, "No man is an island," reminds us that we are all a part of the other. And so in our living, we live together, and in our dying, we die together too. And I think that's worth pausing on for just a moment, Because any of us who have experienced death know that it's true. There's a part of us that dies when someone we love dies. The very phrase I just used illuminates that experiencing death. None of us have died, and yet probably all of us have experienced death. We have died with the people we love. That's not to say that our hearts stopped, that our lungs stopped to breathing, that we ceased to exist, but we experienced death. Part of us died with them. It's why we can't bear too much tragedy, why people experience compassion fatigue, because we experience death. And that experience is overwhelming. Part of us shuts down. We die a little each time, and we are never the same again. I see some of you nodding your heads because this probably resonates with you too. You felt it. You know what I'm talking about. On an existential level, it means that we are constantly dying with humanity, and thus we are always a part of death. It's interesting that a 17th century Anglican priest would sound so Buddhist. But it reminds me of the first noble truth, that life is suffering. And any who hear that first noble truth and don't move deeper get stuck on this concept of life as suffering. And they think that life is just depressing, not even worth living if it's filled only with suffering. Or consequently, in regards to Donne's poem, that we're always dying, because if every bell that tolls, tolls for us another death I've died, who could possibly bear that? But I think that there's liberation in both of these concepts, because for even as I'm always a part of death, so too am I always a part of life. And if a part of me is dying each death, as I experience each death, I'm also living, thus carrying on beyond death. You see, our interconnectedness means that even as your death is my death, my life is your life. And therefore, those that die are never fully dead as long as we are living. And our deaths, though experienced by those who know and love us, are not finite, precisely because we live on in the living. Am I losing you? It's the very reason we celebrate All Saints Day. To put it simply, we recognize that even though the people we love have died, they don't stop existing in our lives. Their mark continues to have impact. It's as simple as they aren't forgotten, that they live on in our memories, but it's as complex as death cannot undo them. So even as a part of us dies with them, a part of them lives in us. We don't even need to acknowledge it, because without even realizing it, we are giving them life in the ways we live. If you ask me, that's what resurrection is all about. That phrase, death has no power over us, it probably isn't entirely true, because death is powerful. Its effects are eternal. If we are to die each death alongside one another, we are to experience the great power that it holds. But I think what is so empowering is that resurrection promises that death is not the end, that the story isn't over, that our story isn't over. I don't fully understand this mystery, but I embrace it. I even feel liberated by it. Even as I feel the pain, even as I grieve, I know that there is more to life than death, and there is more to death than lack of existence. That in fact, even death can't fully kill us, because in our dying, we live. It's Paul's words that come to me in the hospital room, that came to me last week when I sat in stunned grief, tears streaming down my face, wishing that I could take the pain away. that I could undo the impending death. And yet when words would not come, all I could do was echo Paul's. The Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And that very conviction that I too am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, I can't tell you I understand it. That even makes sense logically. I have no science to back it, no way to prove any of it. But I take great comfort in it, this mystery. And I believe there lies truth. And so today, on All Saints' Day, we remember, we grieve, we pause in our living to experience death again. But in our dying with those we love, we also actively give them life. Never forgotten, never fully separated. Alive, not only in our memories, but in our being, in our doing, in our loving, and in our living. For saints such as these, for you and for me, the bell tolls. Amen.